The Doug Wright Show, where Utah news breaks on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, a hot topic today in Washington, D.C., and this is really a tale of two topics and two efforts in our capital city. One is to protect and continue to maintain the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. The other is to replace it, repeal it, and to move on with something different. And boy, I'll tell you, talk about a challenging conversation. And this appears to be on the front burner at high boil right now as the new Donald J. Trump administration is anticipating going into office. So on one hand, we have the future Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence, meeting with the Republicans in the House and in the Senate to try to figure out how to repeal and then ultimately replace. And then on the other side, we have the president who is meeting to try with House Democrats and Senate Democrats to try to figure out how to preserve Obamacare. I thought Paul Ryan just nailed this a little while ago.
This law has failed. It's getting worse. Families are hurting. No one has choices. We've got to fix this by replacing it with something better. And in that transition, we want to make sure we don't pull the rug out from anybody during that transition.
Boy, think of all of the things that he touched on and is encompassed in that statement. And this morning, as I was just trying to sort this out in my head a little bit, based on the limited experience and knowledge that I have in this arena, I thought, who better to call than the former Secretary of Health and Human Services and our former Governor, Mike Leavitt, who was kind enough to agree to join us this morning. And Governor Leavitt, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Doug. It's a pleasure to always speak with you.
When we were 4 years ago, a little bit beyond 4 years ago, when the campaign was underway, I used to hear Mitt Romney, and you were working so hard on that campaign, talk about repeal, repair, and replace. I often wondered about that. The idea, should it be repaired before it is repealed and replaced? I've always been kind of fascinated by the steps that should be taken and in what order.
Well, I think first we have to recognize that the phrase repeal and replace is a phrase, and it's become a bit of a rallying cry for Republicans. My party has used that phrase for three elections in a row now and have prospered because people don't like the direction that health care is going. They don't like the way the federal government's playing in it. But we have had the Affordable Care Act now for 6 years. Major portions of it have been integrated into the healthcare system. So the idea that we're simply going to go back as though it never existed is not very realistic. And so the phrase repeal and replace, one now has to begin to ask the question, what does repeal mean and what does replace mean? And so what's going on right now is that the Congress is making a list of the things that they want to repeal, and they're making a list of the things they think they can replace, and they're debating how big is the list and exactly what should be on the list. Some of it will be things that will, in fact, continue to be similar but may be improved. I would put that in the category of repair. There will be parts that will be completely eliminated. I would put that in the category of repeal. But parts of it will, of what they repeal, will have to be replaced. And so there's a lot of disagreement. There's a lot of debate here that's still left, and I think we'll go through another couple of years of iteration. But I don't think we ought to think of this as being just the difference between Obamacare and Trump. This is an iterative process we're going through to try to improve health care.
I remember back in 2010, you were kind enough to speak to the Malaria Free Clinic gathering. I emceed the event that night, and I remember in a question and answer period, either before or after, I can't recall honestly right now, but you were asked at that time, because this was the six-year period that you've referred to, Governor, and you were asked about it, what would be the potential of repealing it, and so on. This was very, very fresh on people's minds, and you pointed out that so many of the things that the American people liked and wanted were there first, tentacles and roots were going down, and because in 2010 we were going to have President Obama at least for another 2 years, and there was the potential for another 4 years after that, that some of these things were going to take root.
Well, people are not going to want to go back on, for example, having their children able to be on their own policy until age 26. I don't think we're going to want to abandon the point that that people can't buy health insurance because of a health condition. Those are things that I think Americans generally aspire to be true. Now, there are ways to accomplish it that are different than what the Affordable Care Act did that, in my mind, frankly, would be improvements. Lots of things about the way we pay for health care have changed. I think you'd get Republicans and Democrats to agree on those things. We see Affordable Care Act debated as though there's no agreement. Well, the reality is there are things that Republicans and Democrats agree on, and I think we'll see those things defined in the bill or in legislation. I don't think it'll be one piece of legislation. I think they'll end up repealing it, and then they'll end up over the course of the next 2 years not having one bill, but probably five or six bills. I think that's a healthier way to do it. I feel good about the fact that the Republicans have made a commitment that they're not going to be to do what the Democrats did, which was to have a bill come out, one bill, on which there are no bipartisan votes. Mm-hmm. I think that won't be any more lasting than the Democrats' effort. They've got to come to a bipartisan response to this.
It has been so amazing to me, Governor. We're talking with former Governor Mike Leavitt, former Secretary of Health and Human Services, that the major pieces of social legislation going clear back to Social Security in the 1930s, going on to the Civil Rights Acts, going on to Medicare, Medicaid, and so on, have all had not only bipartisan input, but in many, many cases, I think save only one on Medicaid in one either in the Senate or in the House with Republicans. There wasn't quite a Republican majority, but there has been bipartisan input, bipartisan vote, bipartisan support, and in many cases, bipartisan majorities who have worked on these major pieces of social legislation long before your lifetime and mine. And the one time it did not happen, this really has turned out to be somewhat of a debacle.
Well, it's just a lesson we all ought to learn from in history, and not just future. We ought to learn from it now. Look, the Republicans are going to require some Democrat votes in the Senate to get this done. And therefore, they're going to have to find the places that where the legislation works, and they're going to have to do what they can to improve it. But again, think of this as an iterative process. This isn't just a one-time, this is better than that. It's a process of improvement, and it's all being done under the rubric of repeal and replace, because that's been the mandate that was sought by the Republicans for change. And mm-hmm. I think the one thing you can count on is that whatever changes are made, it will be part of a bill called repeal and replace, because that's what they promised to do. Now, how repeal is defined and how replace is defined, we're going to have another discussion about that.
Governor, can we have some kind of national health care? And this has been discussed going back to Franklin Roosevelt. Interestingly enough, two very strong voices early on. We had Harry Truman in the late 40s and early 50s. We even had Richard Nixon talking about this. Virtually every president of all stripes, all parties, have dealt with this in some form or fashion. Can we have national health insurance without a mandate and without some of the tax issues that ultimately Chief Justice Roberts declared made Obamacare ultimately constitutional?
Let's start with what we agree on. I think it is a widely held aspiration for every American to have access to an affordable insurance policy. If we can accomplish that, we can go a long ways toward creating a climate and a culture where people are cared for when they're sick or they're injured. I don't think Americans are going to buy a European-style, the government-runs healthcare approach. We don't need to implement that. What we can create is a uniquely American system where those providers that provide the best care at the lowest money are rewarded. and that consumers have choices where they can choose a health care provider based on what they believe is the best care for them. We also need to have a system where when people are in financial hardship, they get help. But we don't need to have a system where the responsibility for paying for health care is removed from everyone and just loaded onto the government and then filtered through the tax system.
Governor, are you convinced that we can move to a repaired and a replaced system without, as Paul Ryan put it, pulling the rug out from anyone?
I am persuaded that can be done. I'm hopeful that it will be done. I think it will require statesmanship and, to a large degree, stepping away from the traditional partisanship that has often stood in the way of real progress.
If I've heard you correctly, you believe that while there will be a repeal and replace bill, that it will put in place things that will happen over the next couple of years, perhaps, before anything is fully gelled. And in the meantime, that folks will continue to have some kind of assurance that the rug will not be pulled out from under them, and that we'll have several bills that will ultimately put things in place. Is that a fair representation?
Yes. I believe we can take Paul Ryan at his word that their desire is to improve what's there and not to disadvantage those who have acted to get health insurance. Now, will there be people who have to make changes? Yes. I don't think we know the answer fully to that, but I think the key here is for them to operate on a bipartisan basis and to find a solution that benefits the people.
For those that are in open enrollment right now, can they enroll with relative confidence that things will continue at least somewhat recognizably for the foreseeable year or maybe two future?
If people don't have health insurance, they ought to do what they can to get health insurance. Does that mean that the system won't change over the next couple of years? No, but they ought to take the responsibility of finding a way to get health insurance and using what tools are available to them today.
Governor, I really appreciate your time with us this morning. I've been trying to work through this and trying to figure out what it will mean on the day that Donald Trump was elected. I had a young cousin back in Missouri who burst into tears, not because he was necessarily so unhappy that Mr. Trump was elected, but he feared that for the first time in a long time, he was able to get some insurance. And boy, all of us know the flaws and the downsides of Obamacare. But for the first time, he's an actor. He's rather a free-spirited person. He kind of goes from job to job. He's lived in L.A. He's lived in Kansas City. He's done student teaching, everything else. And for the first time, he was confident that he had insurance and that he could actually afford it. And he burst into tears on Election Day, fearing that he would lose that.
I think there's a widely held aspiration in America that we live in a place where people can buy affordable insurance. That doesn't mean the responsibility should be lifted from them to do what they can do, but we need a system that doesn't put your cousin in that place. And what I've heard Paul Ryan say is we're not going to change, we're not going to put them in a disadvantaged position as we work through improvements, but we are going to improve the system.
Governor, again, thank you for your time. I understand you're on our Utah Capitol Hill for some of the ceremonies that are going to be happening here in about 40 minutes.
Well, I'm here for a great Utah celebration and a great American tradition of transitioning power in a seamless and thoughtful way, and it's something none of us should ever underestimate the blessing of.
Boy, absolutely. Governor Leavitt, again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Governor Mike Leavitt with us here at KSL News Radio, and along with being our former governor, of course, the former Secretary of Health and Human Services, walking us through what some of the possibilities are, some of the challenges might be, some of the expectations for repeal, repairing, and replacing Obamacare. And this comes in light of the very high-level meetings that are going on in Washington, D.C. right now. Among Democrats, it's fighting to preserve this legacy piece of legislation that President Obama said he was proud to have bear his name. At first, everybody was trying to correct everybody. Hey, it's not Obamacare, it's the Affordable Care Act. And the president himself said, no, I'm okay with that. And he put his arms around and gave a great big hug to that piece of legislation that we do know as Obamacare. On the other hand, we have the soon-to-be Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence, meeting with leadership on Capitol Hill in the Congress, trying to figure out how to repeal it and replace it. It's an interesting time and a lot of questions. And again, I appreciate our former governor at least helping us sort out what we can at this point. And there are so many unknowns. That's the bottom line.